This morning I tried to teach my son the word Easter. I said, Andrew, can you say Easter? And he grabbed his ear and says, ear, ear. So I want to wish you all a happy Easter this morning. It's as far as we're going to get this year. We're happy that you're here with us. How many of you here have read the story of Don Quixote? For the Looney Tunes fans here, I didn't say Wile E. Coyote, I said Don Quixote. I've always heard the story about Don Quixote and some connection with him blindly chasing after windmills, so I decided to think I should know about this. So I went down and bought the book, and to my dismay, it was 1,000 pages long. So I think I'll have it done by next Easter, and you'll hear part two. But I've got enough to continue today. And Don Quixote is a famous novel written by a Spanish author, Miguel Cervantes, around 1605. He wrote it in two parts. And it's a story about a Spanish hidalgo, a retired countryman named Alonso Quixano, who decides to take up books about chivalry and conquests by renowned knights. So many of these famous books he had on his bookshelves. And the reading of these books makes him mad as he begins to believe they are true, despite the fact that he's centuries removed from the reality of this social structure. And in essence, he now begins to see the world in which he now lives through the eyes of these novels and the eyes of these books. He desires to be a knight of honor, of conquest, a knight of the round table. So he takes up an old suit of armor. He grabs his old horse. He renames himself Don Quixote of La Mancha and sets out for adventures of glory and fame and honor. His neighbors, of course, mock him for his exploits, for the foolishness of a guy in modern times for that era, riding around in armor and a staff and trying to save damsels in distress, whether or not they know they are in distress. And eventually he decides that he needs a squire to join him on his adventure, so he convinces one of his neighbors, a man named Sancho Panza, to join him in his journeys, with a promise to Sancho that one day he's going to be a governor. He'll make Sancho a governor over a yet-to-be-conquered territory by Don Quixote. It's really quite a funny story, enjoyable story as you read it. Now, Don Quixote, being mad and living in his own world and in search of these weird adventures, ends up participating in things that do not bring him the fame and the fortune and the renown that he wanted, but rather ridicule and quite often bodily pain. For example, the one piece of the story that's the most quoted, Don Quixote and Sancho come upon a windmill and even a field of windmills, which Don Quixote assumes to be a giant needing to be destroyed. So he takes off with his pole aimed at this unsuspecting giant of a windmill. All the while, Sancho is crying out, "It's a windmill! Stop!" Quixote, of course, keeps going, and he spears one of the fans of the windmill, which was so large that it launches him and his horse a good distance, leaving them both in severe pain. And on the ground, Don Quixote looks and recognizes a windmill. Now, Sancho, of course, tells him, "I warned you. You attacked a windmill." But Don Quixote does not recognize his error now. Still being quite mad, he says that, "Well, at the last minute, an enchanter changed it on me. It really was a giant, but I was tricked in the end." Don Quixote and Sancho later come upon a large cloud of dust rising in the distance, which Don Quixote mistakes for being an enemy army advancing upon him, needing to be vanquished. Sancho, of course, recognizes it what it is. It's a large herd of sheep walking in the distance, creating a large thing of dust. And Don Quixote drops his mask over his helmet with his spear aimed out and charges after this enemy army and runs through quite a number of sheep, to the dismay of the farmers who were herding them. Sancho, of course, is yelling after him, "It's a herd of sheep." And after Don Quixote realizes his error, Sancho says again, "I told you." But Don Quixote would not admit to it. And this is really the story over and over again in this journey. Don Quixote goes after things that will bring him fame and fortune and honor. And time again, Don Quixote refuses to admit that the adventure that he rides off in pursuit of is really an illusion of his own making. And in his mind, it's never his fault when it doesn't work out. But time and time again, Sancho says to him, in essence, "Do you believe me now? When will you believe what I'm telling you is true?" And Sancho, on the other hand, in this adventure, is in this for himself. He wants to be governor over a tract of land that Don Quixote is promising to conquer. And after every mishap of Don Quixote, Sancho sinks into discouragement because his hopes for the future lie in the hands of a man who he is beginning to think really isn't who he says he is. He's doubting whether or not what is being promised will actually come true. But interestingly enough, in the story, through random flashes of brilliance, Don Quixote seems to do just enough to bolster Sancho's flagging hope. And Don Quixote is so convinced that he is the one who will bring this victory, he turns to Sancho every time and says, "Do you believe me now? Do you believe that I'm going to bring you to the end of this journey and it's going to work out?" The way I look at the resurrection accounts in the Gospels, I think this is the most important question being asked of the disciples. From the question of the angels to the women who appeared at the tomb, "Listen, did he not tell you that this would happen this way? Do you not remember what he said?" To the appearance of Jesus to his disciples saying, "Okay now, look, see my hands, see my feet, touch my side. Do you believe now? Do you believe me now?" The question, of course, is asked of Peter, the one who famously said, "I will never deny you," only have Jesus respond, "Mark my words, Peter, you will." And it happened just as Jesus said it would. Peter believed in an illusion of himself. In the midst of the battle, he, however, crumbled and fell. The question was also asked of Thomas, who had all but given up hope that Jesus was who he says he was. "I won't believe until I see the proof. It's been a waste of my time, clearly." Yet Jesus appears to them both, yet in a much more graceful way than that of Don Quixote and Sancho. Jesus does not say, like Sancho does, "I told you so," in a kind of condescending way. Nor does he say, like Don Quixote, "Do you believe me now?" as if he's worthy of some honor undeserved. Jesus just very clearly and directly asks, "Do you believe me now? Do you believe the truth? Do you see now that all that I said was true? Do you see that my warnings were for your own good? Do you see now that everything that I promise will be fulfilled? Do you see now that I will never leave you nor forsake you? If death cannot hold me, what is to stop me from being by your side through all that you go through in this life?" To those who trusted in themselves and followed illusions, and to those who despaired of themselves, thinking that things were never going to work out as they expected, he wants to know, "Do you believe me now?" And it's a recurring theme. It's almost like the annoying Verizon commercial, right? "Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Do you believe me now?" I think we are all like Don Quixote and Sancho, or maybe a combination of the two in life. There are some of us here who, like Don Quixote, charge after illusions of our own making, illusions that claim to promise joy and happiness and fulfillment, something that's really going to make me who I am, who I've longed to be. And then when we crash and burn with the pain and the heartache, we entertain the thought that maybe, just maybe, we were quite wrong. But we often refuse to do that, just like Don Quixote. We entertain the thought that, okay, maybe something else will fill this void. We refuse to admit the reality of the illusion. We blame unfair circumstances or bad timing for our misfortune, and we charge off again towards another giant, which is actually a windmill. And once again, when the illusion wears off and we begin to see things as they really are, there is that voice. Do you believe me now? There are some of us here who, like Sancho, want to follow along faithfully, living a good life, believing with hope that things are just going to work out in the end for us. And yet, in the midst of trials, in the midst of difficulties, in the midst of struggles that seem to suggest that everything we hope for is lost, we crumble and say, it's all been a waste. What else is there then if this hope is now gone? I have hoped in nothing, and God cannot help me. And then somehow and in some way, we're brought through these trials. We endure these circumstances with a strength we cannot describe. Something gives us a spark of hope, and there is that voice again saying to us very clearly, do you believe me now? Why is Easter important? Easter is not a party day in the Gospels. Nowhere in the Gospels does Jesus appear and they have a celebration because this is just what they expected. No jubilant singing that things have all turned out well. There is just simply fear and awe and trembling in the eyes of one who they beheld as once dead, who is now standing in front of them alive. But Jesus' appearance before them was intended to do one thing and one thing only, to move their faith from a trust in themselves and their own illusions, to move their faith in a trust in somehow being given things for their own lives for the future, despite the fact that it's a very selfish notion in the end. He wants to move them to believe now, to find the change. He says he literally wants no more chasing after windmills here, friend. This is the real deal for which the journey is not self-focused honor and some governorship in a far-off land, but a life, a real life worth living, a risen Lord Jesus standing in front of them, no more doubting that God's promises are true. He is who he says he is. Get on living the life that is the true real life, because now everything changes. Do you believe me now? No more windmills. No more questioning whether or not I am who I said I was. I am. I am. I close with the lyrics from a favorite song of mine written by Stephen Curtis Chapman that I will listen to at times when I've charged after my own windmills and seen the illusion of my journey, or when I begin to doubt whether or not the one who was raised can still come through. The lyrics are told from the perspective of the Lord, saying this, believe me now, believe me here. Remember all the times I've told you loud and clear, I am with you and I am for you. Believe me now. Believe it's true. I never have and I never will abandon you. The God that I have always been, I will forever be. Believe me now. Do you believe him now? Don Quixote's and Sancho's. He is risen. Let's pray.